I asked Rabbi Cohen to share with us some Divrei Hesped about the Rosh Yeshivas at Tzal, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. I'm sure many of you know that Rabbi Cohen enjoyed a very special kind of close relationship with Rosh Yeshiva. I don't know if he was planning on telling you, but last time he was in Eretz Yisrael, just a few weeks ago when he went for Yom Kippur, he went to visit the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva was in the middle of learning, and he didn't want to disturb the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rebbetzin told Rabbi Cohen, no, you have to go in because gives him so much simcha to see you, he loves to see you. That was the kind of relationship Rabbi Cohen had with Rosh Yeshiva. So I think on today, the day of Rosh Yeshiva's Levaya in Eretz Yisrael, it's appropriate to hear Divrei Hesped from Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel's Zechut Tzadik Levaya.
The emes was this morning when Rabbi Leibowitz asked me to speak. It was soon after I found out. And it was really, really very, very, very hard this morning. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to. If words would be able to come out, it was a very difficult, difficult morning. For me personally, I have to... to lose somebody that you feel so close to. Rabbi Umoiri, Tzadik Adar, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, somebody who had the schus to learn from and feel close to for the past 15 years. So much of who I am, whatever that is because of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Being with him and talking to him and just observing him. Try to share what comes to mind. I wrote down a few ideas, a few stories. Just think it's so important. There was no one in this world that I personally looked at as more special than Rav Nosson Tzvi. For many, many reasons. You know, Rav Nosson Tzvi had a background just like every single one of us. Rav Nosson Tzvi grew up in Chicago, went by Nady, in Ida Crown, a co-ed modern Orthodox high school. The schus to sit next to in shul, a very big tzaddik, I'm close to Rabbi Dan Well. Rabbi Dan Well was Rav Nosson Tzvi's madrich in Bnei Akiva in Chicago. Rav Nosson Tzvi graduated high school, a real mensch, he told me, a real balmidos. But, you know, couldn't read Rashi much better than any of us could have at the time we graduated high school. And wanted so badly, some of his chevra times, this is going back 50 years ago, some of his chevra was going to Eretz Yisrael, a lot wasn't, it wasn't like today. He wanted to go to learn in Eretz Yisrael. His parents wanted him to go on to college. They didn't see the value and the importance at that point in his life. And they would talk about this, and there was back and forth, and eventually they decided that they're going to bring in Rabbi Dan Well at the time, who was his madrich, as I said, in Bnei Akiva, to help and give eitz on what they should do. Rabbi Well told me it's Yad Dishmaya, and what he told the parents was that, of course, Nady should go to college, but he should wait a couple of years. If he goes now, straight out of high school, he's not going to take it. He's not going to be so serious. He's not going to take his classes so serious. He's not going to... he'll joke, he'll be involved in all different types of things. Let him go to Eretz Yisrael for a year, for 2 years, get serious, work on his Yiddishkeit a little, mature a little bit, then he'll go to college. And the parents, Baruch Hashem, for every single one of us in all of Klal Yisrael, was mekabel that etzah. He said, where are we going to send him to Eretz Yisrael? So at the time, Rav Nosson Tzvi's great uncle, or Liza Yudel Finkel, was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. Grandfather's brother. So they said, we'll send him to the Mir. Send him to the Mir. This way, Mishpach will take care of him. He'll be in the Mir. That's how Rav Nosson Tzvi ended up in the Mir Yeshiva. Supposed to be for a year or two. He gets there and his great uncle looks at him and says, if you're here, you're going to be Matzliach, and sets him up to learn with the Koyel Yangaman all day. He says, you should only stop to eat and to sleep. He ends up learning with that Koyel Yangaman 10 years straight. All day. 5 years in, he becomes a chassan to Rav Beinish Finkel's daughter, Rav Liza Yudel's son, who is the next Rav Shiva of the Mir, married a second cousin. It's a little bit of a tumult. A lot of people in the Mir didn't understand. Here's a boy 5 years ago was in a modern Orthodox high school, and now he's marrying the Rav Shiva's granddaughter. Shiva understood the kaychis. And he became a Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. What we could become in life. He walked around Nisim Gluyim, as you all know, the Mesiris Nefesh of his life. He suffered from Parkinson's disease for many, many years. I'm not sure how long, ever since I knew him. But he was a walking malach. I used to watch him when he'd walk through the streets of Beis Yisrael from the Mir to his house, which was a 1 minute walk, and his whole body was flying all over the place. And it looked like, to me, it was only possible that malachim were holding him up. Only possible that malachim were holding him up. He had malachim taking care of him, because if not, he should be falling. He should have to be supported. His legs and arms. And he went through nisyonos daily. His physical pain was so real and so apparent. But he was mekabel at all ba'ava. He never once complained, never once showed pain. You know, we have, I think it's so appropriate, this week is Parashas Vayera, Kedis Yitzchak, and the Shem Shmuel says, what's the nisyon of a Kedis Yitzchak? Avram Avinu is not going to carry out the word of Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom says, do something. Avraham doesn't say no to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So Shem Shmuel says that the Nisayon wasn't to do it, but was to see how he's going to fulfill it. Is he going to do it ba'ava? Is he going to do it with love? B'simcha? Because it's a Sivay Hashem. The Rashiva is going to live. He has a disease. Many people have diseases, and you live. And you live to whatever extent a productive life. Rav Nosson Tzvi, every second was ba'ava and b'simcha. Because his life wasn't physical in any way. His life wasn't physical. There was no guf. You know, one of the gedolim was asked a few years ago for a bracha, who to go to for a bracha. And the gadol says, there's only one gadol and there's only one tzaddik in our dar. The only person's Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Because Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel is cool in the neshama, there is no guf. There's no guf. He didn't have, there's no physical attribute, there's no guf to him, because his guf was so disheveled and was not working, so he's cool in the neshama. He was cool o Torah. He came from our background, but he was cool o Torah. Cool o Torah. His life was only Torah. And he wanted so badly, each and every one of his Talmidim, we love so dearly, that their life should only be Torah. I remember when he found out, I had the schuss to learn in the Mir as well, one unbelievable Zman. But I used to go to him already when I was learning Kerem B'Yavne. I used to go to him every Erev Shabbos. He gave shmuz. Hard to say gave. Gave a shmooze in his house every year of Shabbos. But I used to go to already when I was in Kerem B'Yavne, whenever I was in Yerushalayim on Erev Shabbos. That's how I got to know the Rosh Yeshiva first. A friend of mine said, you have to go. You give every year of Shabbos in Hebrew and in English. And it was Mesiris Nefesh. Every time he spoke was Mesiris Nefesh. His whole body would be flying all over the place. He's giving Torah. There wasn't a time I've been in Eretz Yisrael the last 15 years on an Erev Shabbos, and I wasn't with the Rosh Yeshiva. Sit there by the table to learn Torah from him. I go to Eretz Yisrael, and I remember every time it was the same. I'd be sitting there, and sometime in the middle, I'd just feel such bracha to be in the presence of the Rosh Yeshiva and hearing his Torah. I'd start crying every shmooze. And I remember walking out every Erev Shabbos and thinking it was worth coming all the way to Eretz Yisrael just for this experience. The Torah, he said, over to be witness, to appreciate the experience of Torah, of the Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, his love for Torah, for being one with Torah. Remember one Erev Shabbos, he found out that a lot of the boys, I don't know, a lot, but the 6,000 Talmidim in the mirror, whatever number, boys were involved in some of the leagues, the football leagues, the basketball leagues. And not that he was connected playing sports or needing some sort of outlet, but he felt so strongly to be part of a league. To be part of a league means you're machshivit, there's a chashivas and something else that's not Torah. That you're spending time, it's not just that you're playing, you're going to be thinking about it, you're going to be talking about it. It's part of your life. It's part of your life that's chashiv. You're so upset about it. He was so upset that boys in his yeshiva were part of leagues. Can't play sports. Not to play sports on Erev Shabbos. But to be part of a league, that this should be chashiv in your life. Anything in your life outside Torah shouldn't be chashiv. Remember, he found out one of the restaurants around the mirror. But at the restaurants around the mirror, the boys would go not just to eat and not just to shorts and social, but they'd hang out there for hours and turned into like a social scene, and boys were missing Siddharim because of it, and there was the place to be, and it was so hurtful to him. His life was Torah. It's well known, and I heard this myself personally from the Rebbetzin, Badal Chaim. The Rebbetzin told me, and I know, and that there are many medications for Parkinson's disease to at least, not as healing necessarily, but to at least deal with the side effects and the different, to calm your body and be able to live a normal life to some degree. He wouldn't take the medications because the medications had some small side effect that would mess with your mind and you wouldn't be able to think as clearly and your memory wouldn't be as perfect. He says, it's going to have any effect on my Torah, it's not worth it. It's kula neshama. He'd learn with Talmidim all day. As Rabbi Leibowitz said, this last time I had this chus was exactly 1 month ago today, Yud Alef Tishrei, the day after Yom Kippur. I have such a karsa tov, the Rebbetzin pushed me to go in. Because there wasn't a time in my life that I've been in Eretz Yisrael, that I haven't spent time with Rosh Yeshiva. But that time also, he's sitting learning with the Bachar. Well, not Talmidei Chacham, many Bachar in the mirror. There was a Chabura for every Bachar. Him with three Talmidim, with four Talmidim, one-on-one, one-on-two. Anyone who wanted in the mirror could have a Chavruz with Rosh Yeshiva. So you'd have Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and you would have Wednesday at 2 o'clock, and you'd have... There wasn't anyone who wanted. All you had to do was go over to Rosh Yeshiva and ask. And all day he'd be learning to give over Torah. His life was Torah. And it was Nisim Gluyim that I observed. Nisim Gluyim, I'm telling you, when it came to Torah Mitzvahs. There were times that I walked into his bias to talk with him prior to the Erev Shabbos Shmuz. And I'd walk in to ask Eitzah in different areas, whatever it might be. And there were a few times where I spoke, that often it was very hard to hear him and you'd have to mamish lean with your ear next to his mouth. But there were a few times where literally words couldn't leave his mouth. Where he was having a tough day, every day was different, every moment was different, and words couldn't leave his mouth. Okay, and I understood. There were times, so you walked out, you understood, you come back another time, that was that time. But I'm like, this was right before the shmooze, I'm like, how's he going to give a shmooze, and there's 150 people waiting to come in his house to listen to a shmooze on the parasha, and you walk in, and you sit down, and there he goes, 20, 25 minutes of Torah, suddenly the Rabbeinu Shalom, Hashem Sefasai Tiftoch, Kadosh Baruch Hu opens up his mouth and he could speak, because when it comes to Torah, give Shir Kloli, his whole body would be flying all over, but he's giving Torah for Torah. His life was Torah, the Simcha Shel Torah. I'll never forget Simcha's Torah. It's supposed to be Simcha's Torah in the mirror. Simcha's Torah night. It's probably the first night. It's probably 600-700 people in the Beis Medrash. It was towards the end of Akafos, and all of us are dancing a row about 20 long in front of the Aron, one behind the other, just dancing up to the Aron and back, and up to the back. And the Rosh Shiva of Nazan Tzvi is standing right next to the Aron, his makom, suspended by shtenders, with a smile that could light up the world. Asher Misha Malcha B'Torah. I remember all the time singing with him Simchas V'Shevas and different occurrences. Asher Misha Malcha B'Torah. You look at the Rosh Shiva, Asher Misha Malcha B'Torah. And we're dancing there. I'm probably in the second or third row. Mamish, probably about 500 people. I'm saying back and forth. You can't understand what this is. You don't know what this is. And suddenly the Rosh Shiva by himself just bursts and flying all over, but runs to join in, and he's standing there in front. He joins in and locks arm. Two people are holding him, and he's mamish front and center, leading the entire tanz back and forth, Simcha's Torah night. And mamish, everybody's crying of Simcha, tears of Simcha. You know, all of this, all of that I expressed and all of that I gave over, anything, all of this so far, to be Makabi Yisroel Ba'ava, she loved life. I'll never forget how many times he told over the Sichus Musar of Isher B'Chaim. He used to always and tell a Torah from B'Chaim Shalevitz. When you saw when he was telling over a story or a Torah from B'Chaim, his face would shine. You didn't need lights on in the room. He used to sit there and he'd talk about being makabel yisurin ba'ava, and you're looking at the Rosh Shiva, and this is life. This is not Torah, it's life. But that relationship he had with Ruchnius and the relationship with Torah wasn't even his godless, I don't believe. It's only a chelik of it. You had a walking malach so in tune to Torah and Rabbeinu Shalom that also had such kavod la'acherim, such love for people. As a position of a Rosh Yeshiva, as I said before, is learning with Talmid and giving over, he would learn with every Talmud in the Yeshiva. I'll never forget. One day I walked in to speak to him in his house. And he's sitting at his table, where he often was, and he has a pile this high, probably about 500 pieces of paper, and they were letters to thank those who came to the Mir Yeshiva dinner for coming and for helping out, whatever, tzedakah. And he was sitting there signing every single one personally, every single one, Nathan Tzvi Finkel, every one personally. And when I tell you that each one took anywhere between 30 seconds and a minute, is no exaggeration. It was very hard for him with his Parkinson's and his arms flying to just, it was the way he would write. So till he got his pen down, once he got his pen down to start, so he would be able to slide and finish that particular line. But each line took a long time till he could start, sometimes 10, 20, 30 seconds. Never heard of a computer images. Of a stamp, a mass, you're sending out a mass letter, 500 letters, whatever, what, maybe more. That was one pile, I don't know if there were more piles. But the Rosh Shiva understood that the chizik, the inspiration that each individual gets to have a little bit of a signature of the Rosh Shiva. Feel that kesher to the Rosh Shiva. tell you, you talk to anyone who learned in the mirror, they'll tell you what they loved most was the kesher to the Rosh Hashiva. Everybody, I felt so close. I felt so close. I learned in the mirror one zman, and I had the schus to be by him Erev Shabbos for many, many times, over 100 times probably. But the Talmidim learned the mirror 20, 30 years. You know how many people must have felt close to the Rosh Hashiva? Every time I'd walk into him, every single time I'd walk into him, the first thing he'd lean and give me this huge kiss on the cheek. And Mamish, I never wanted to wash my face. You know, it is a kiss from a Gadol Adar. I forget the first time when I was leaving Eretz Yisrael after Shana Bet, my second year, and I went to speak to Rashiva for Eitzah before I came back to Chutz Laaretz, and that was the first time he leaned over and gave me this big kiss on the cheek. He loved people, and he was just giving to people in any way he knew how to build people, make others feel good. This Ben Adam Chavero there was nobody like him. And the little things in life, I had the schus, I ate by him Shabbos. I ate by him Shabbos meal when I was learning in the mirror, and he's sitting at the head of the table, obviously, and I'm sitting mamish right next to him on the side. The Rebbetzin comes, it was a meal, it was unbelievable, obviously, just to be in the presence of a tzaddik and watch how he eats and just lives. But the Rebbetzin gives a fish, and I have a little bit of fish, and I finish. And when I finish, the Rashiva is the one who takes my plate to clear it off. Now, he wasn't getting up and walking, but because of who he was and his condition, he couldn't, but at least whatever he could do to help, he clears my plate and puts it together with his plate so that he could help out. The midos, the sensitivities, the love for people, the love for life. I'll tell you a famous story that I know personally. One of my Talmidim's fathers is close with this person. It's recorded in one of the books, and I'm sure we could find it online probably, because it was said over Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz is the CEO of Starbucks. Yid, not a from Yid. So Howard Schultz said over the following story when he was honored with an honorary business ethics degree from Columbia University. He says, however, he and a few other big CEOs, big people, you know, CEO of Starbucks is not a small thing, and other big CEOs from America were in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel, visiting. I don't know if they were all even Jewish, not Jewish, I'm not sure. And they wanted to meet a great Jew, a Gadol. So who they brought to? Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. Rav Nosson Zvi was one of the few Gadolim that speak English. Grew up in Chicago. They figured this is perfect. Bring him, and he's sitting there, and they're sitting in the Rashiva's house. And the Rashiva says to them, he says, tell me, what was the lesson of the Holocaust? And one of them says, you know, to understand how much evil could be in the world. And one of them just different answers, some of them good, some not so great, whatever they were, the importance of life, whatever you want to say. And the Rashiva says as follows. He says to them, you know what happened in the Holocaust? The Nazis tortured us in all different ways. And they'd throw us in a cattle car, room for 50, and they put 150. And it was freezing cold. And we'd have nothing. And we'd be in the cattle car 15 hours straight. No food, freezing cold, people were dropping dead, freezing to death. By the time we got out, half of us were alive and half of us were frozen dead. And they'd open up the doors and they'd bring us to a barrack in some concentration camp. And they'd give us a place to sleep, a wooden level in a barrack that was fit maybe for two people, and they'd throw six in. I saw these places, that's how it was. The Nazis to torture us, you know what they do? The Nazis would give one blanket to one of the people in that particular level. And now that person had a choice. He could keep the blanket for himself and keep warm, or he could take that blanket and spread it over the other five people as well and share the blanket. He said to those individuals, you've been blessed with a blanket. Make sure you're sharing it with others. That was his life. Everything was for others. That he's learning with Talmidim all day long. Where was his own learning? That he's giving shmuzes. He has such self-sacrifice, mizirus nefesh for others. His sensitivities towards others. His love, when people come visit, his face would be shining. His love for children. I remember when I took my son Shmuel Yaakov, the first time he gave Shmuel Yaakov this big hug and kiss. And he asked the Rebbe to bring in to give candy to him. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he was able to handle his life in such a way with the Mesiris Nefesh, because his whole life was for others. His whole life was for other people. So he wasn't concerned with himself. There was no care about my own physical wealth and health, and it was all about others. So then my whole focus of life is on others. Myself, I don't matter. The Rabbanu Shlomo matters and other people matter. So I'm dealing with an ailment, it doesn't really matter. Just share one Torah from the Rosh Hashiva. Torah, I just showed my share, but I remember hearing from him. The next Yontif, we have is Chanukah. So Rosh Hashiva asked, we all know Chanukah was a spiritual galus, and Purim was a physical galus. Yet how do we defeat Chanukah? We physically fight against the Yavanim. And how do we defeat Haman, the physical galus? We dive into the Rabbanu Shalom. So I don't understand. It should be just the opposite. Pum fakarit. If one Purim's physical galus, so we should be fighting against Haman. If Chanukah is spiritual, so Chanukah is a spiritual galus. We should be davening and learning. And he said, when there's a galus on your ruchnius, when chas v'sholom something's out to get your ruchnius, you have to fight for it. You have to have mesiris nefesh for it. Our physical gashmius doesn't matter as much. When you fight for something, the mesiris nefesh for ruchnius, for Chanukah, it was a galus on a ruchnius. We had to fight for it. That was his life. All that matters is the ruchnius. That's what it means to be free. I remember him saying, it was Pesach time, or saying, why does it say we go me'avdus l'cheres? We say in Hallel, we go me'avdus l'cheres. It should be me'avdus l'avdus. Me'avdus l'cheres. It should be me'avdus of parah, the avdus to the Rabbanu Shalom, and the avdus of ben ha'masecha. Why me'avdus l'cheres, that we have freedom? He says, cheres is the freedom to be an Eved Hashem. To be free to be an Eved Hashem. To get rid of all of other gashmis and taiva and everything else, to be free to serve the Rabbanu Shalom is what cheres is. To be free to be an Eved Hashem. That's what we have to fight for. That was the life of the Rosh Hashiva. I know some sitting in this room have met him, and some might have had the schus to spend time with him. I can't imagine, I don't know, I'm going to Israel in 2 weeks, I can't imagine I'm not going to have the schlitz to spend time with my Rebbe. But L'maisa, you hear a little bit, if you didn't know of him, of his life, you hear a little bit, hopefully I gave a little bit of an insight to what it means to be Meisr Nefesh for Torah, what it means to be Makabel Ba'ava, any difficulty, what it means to be living for others. We take from this, and that's how we could continue the chayim of the Rosh Hashiva Tzadik of Yilm Sazam Chayei. The Rosh Hashiva is still with us in his Torah and in his ways. And as well, I think it's absolutely it's all hashgacha, that the Rosh Hashiva's yartzeit is the same yartzeit of Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu is the one that davened to the Rabbanu Shalom for the first kula. As Rav Chaim Shulevitz, the Rosh Hashiva's Rebbe, used to say, and that's what the song is based on, the story, he says, Mama Rachel, cry again, continue to cry for us. Shavu banim l'gulam. Lach gula and Yeshua. And the Rosh Hashiva is going to be up in Shemayim, being a melech yosher for all of us. Be a kapara full of Klai Yisrael. should have nechama, we should have simcha, we should have gula shleima b'meir b'meir.